is Run Hunter, brought to you by Raider Media.
Coming up on the show, I speak to Susanna Gill, the woman who conquered 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents. We look ahead to Joburg's toughest 21K. Steve Hill discovers Jabra headphones while Darren Cuball Brom updates us on his comrade's journey. And we find out more about one of the oldest clubs around, Rockies. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening. As always, great response to last week's episode, which featured Shanae Bosman, who's hunting Comrades Winner's Medal number 2. Also featured was Vitality Running Club, and they very kindly sponsored a fitness hamper to someone who could identify how many members they had. Congratulations, Bruce Boshoff in the Cape. You'll be getting your prize soon. Bruce correctly answered 20,000 members, but as the head of Vitality, Craig Nossel, pointed out last week, they're aiming for 40K by the end of the year. If you want to get hold of us, info@raider.media will do it, or drop me a tweet at DerekAlberts1. Gonna hit the ground running. Now, last recap from last week, I chatted to Bruce King, who organized the Jeppy Marathon. The race went brilliantly as expected, despite losing their naming sponsor. Congratulations to Leswena Africa Malelo from Nedbank, winning in a time of 2 hours, 25 minutes and 9 seconds. On the ladies' side, Cornelia Hubert from Boxer came out on top, 2 hours, 24 minutes and 20 seconds. Congrats to the winners. If anyone out there is looking to be a naming sponsor for an incredible race, get hold of Bruce King from Jeppy Running Club. So, that was last week, but this weekend, thousands will descend on Northcliffe here in Johannesburg as they look to ascend. Gonna hit the ground running. Gonna hit the ground running. Now, they say a half marathon is the most enjoyable distance for runners, and I have to concur, it certainly tests you, but if you're relatively fit, you shouldn't have too many problems. However, this weekend, a 21 like no other hits the streets of Johannesburg again. It's the famed Pirates 21K, nicknamed Joburg's toughest 21. I've done it before, and it certainly lives up to its reputation. With me on the line, chairman of Pirates Road Running, David Case. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. Excited for the weekend.
Yes, Derek. I think it's going to be a good one. We're looking at a record field this year, so lots and lots of runners running on our hill.
You say a record field. How many are you expecting?
At this stage, entries are just below 5,000. Entries are closed, but that's the number we've sold and expecting. Field slightly smaller than that. Obviously, injuries and illness and that, or just laziness plays a part in reducing the field on the day.
You say entries closed, so no admittance on the day?
No entries on the day, that's correct.
Okay, now talk us through the route. Man, I'd like to relive it again. Virtually, but unfortunately, I got to do it physically again on Sunday.
Well, Derek, I mean, you've done it before. You know that it's actually quite easy. I mean, the last 7Ks are the easiest you'll find on any course. But, the route is all about the three hills, and three are of potentially the bigger hills in Joburg. And the first one comes almost as the gun goes. So within the first K, runners are tackling a very long hill up to the top of Linden, and then from there, just up and over Northcliffe Hill.
So I think you start elevation at around the 1,500 mark, or just short of 1,600, and you climb up to almost 1,800. So that's a gain of what, 350, 370 odd?
Yes, total elevation climb on the route as measured by any of the fancy running watches probably comes around 410 meters, 420 meters of climbing across the 21K route.
Tell us about the history of the Pirates 21.
Yeah, so Pirates itself, the sports club is quite ancient in terms of Joburg terms. I think Joburg was started in 1886. Pirates sports started in 1888. Can date its roots back to the Pirates Club in Kimberley. But Pirates road running is a little newer, tracing our roots back to 1977. They formed as an offshoot of a number of other running clubs in the area and hosted the first mountain race in 1978. This year's race is going to be the 42nd edition of the event. Route is unchanged over all those years.
And I love when you get to the top and you're greeted by that, I'll say a finish line, it's not exactly that, but by the King of the Mountain banner.
Yes, that's pretty special. Always the most festive water point. I think there's a range of emotions that runners may feel when they get there. I hope most of it is happiness, but I think sometimes we see a bit of sadness and even sometimes a bit of anger. But definitely a relief once you're up there and you know the climbing's behind you.
And I suppose a relief for you guys once it's over. I know that you say you've been hosting it for many years, but that doesn't mean that you can do it in your sleep. Logistically, many challenges involved. And given its popularity, I mean, you can imagine that a lot of people are expecting the best as they have experienced in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it does put pressure on us. I mean, running as a sport is in a boom. We've seen big numbers at all events, and we're cognizant of that. The challenge for us is the race is put on by a bunch of volunteers. No one works for Pirates Road Running, so everyone has to find time, make time to fit the race in their schedule. But fortunately, you know, there is a bit of experience, and we do have some wise head that we can tap into every now and again and put on another great event.
Dave, it certainly is one of the most iconic races in Johannesburg on the running calendar. For those that missed out, you say entries on are closed. How soon after the race finishes can they enter for 2020?
So we're just in the process of tying up a sponsor for 2020. We're running this year's event without a sponsor. And as soon as we get a sponsor, we'll be able to put it out. Saying that entries are closed, substitutions are still open. So, you know, if you're looking for an entry, maybe the trick is to find an injured friend or maybe injure a friend. I don't know if that's an ethical possibility, but we definitely allow substitutions. We want every entry sold to be represented by someone on the route on Sunday.
Dave, just on the subject of the sponsors, I chatted to the organizers of the JEPI Marathon who lost their naming sponsor after many, many years involved, and they spoke about the financial hit they took. I suppose that would have been the same for you guys. However, the show must go on.
I think to an extent, we haven't been reliant on sponsors for a number of years. We've run our races with title sponsors, but on very low requests from those sponsors just in terms or in return for some marketing exposure for them. So for us, the budget doesn't really require sponsorship. Our main aim is that whatever the runners pay, they must get back on race day through medals and water points and the experience that they enjoy on the day.
Brilliant. Well, Dave, thanks so much. Chairman of Pirates Road Running, it is the Pirates 21, Joburg's toughest 21, taking place at 6 a.m. on Sunday from Pirates, and it certainly does live up to its reputation. Make sure to take a selfie of yourself when you get to the top at the King of the Mountain, 14 Ks in, one of the most iconic races on the running calendar in Gauteng. Dave, thanks so much, and have a great race.
Pleasure, Dave. Thanks a lot. Gonna hit the ground running.
Now on to this week's big interview. British runner Susanna Gill, who accomplished something simply sensational a few days ago. Gonna hit the ground running. About 2 years ago, I ran my very first marathon. Since then, I've run the grand total of one. Terrible. But now, Susanna Gill, she's run over 45 marathons and a number of ultras, but More importantly, she recently ran 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents in a record time. She conquered the World Marathon Challenge, better known as the 777, in a time of 22 hours, 50 minutes, and 42 seconds. She's from Britain, and we're very lucky to have her on the line. Susanna, firstly, how are you feeling?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've been back in the UK for about 3 days, so I think it's just starting to sink in. But the reaction from everyone's been amazing. I think it's really captured people's imaginations that a group of sort of ordinary people, there were 40 of us, can go and do such an extraordinary challenge across a week.
Tell us a bit more about the event. I've read a bit about it myself over the last couple of years. I mean, it only came into our imagination, I think, in the early 2000s. And since then, not many have competed in it. I stand to correction, but I think in the region of around 200. Logistically, it must be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, the first person to do it was Sir Ranulph Fiennes in 2003. So he sort of set the benchmark. And then a few people did it off their own backs with commercial airlines in the following years. But it's really become a thing since World Marathon Challenge set up in 2015. So I think this is the fourth year they've done it, fifth year. And they coordinate the flights for you and organise where you're going. So really, as the runners, it's just our job to do the running and get our, keep ourselves in one piece, and then obviously get through airports and onto the flights and try and relax and eat as much as you can in between, and make sure, crucially, that we all get around the world in the 168 hours that we've got to complete the challenge.
Now, you started in Antarctica, you ended up in Miami. Antarctica, you finished second, but after that, you won every race, the final 6 of them. Talk us through each leg, and if you don't mind, and also the toughest and the easiest, as far as you were concerned.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Antarctica was probably the toughest because running on the snow was really, really hard work. It's quite unlevel and quite uneven, and then you get icy patches. So you've got to be quite sharp and try and get into a very different type of rhythm than you have if you're running on tarmac. The girl that won it there, Christina from Denmark, she was a trail runner and she made it look very easy. I definitely didn't. So it was quite a relief to fly back overnight and get back onto the pavements of Cape Town. But they had their own challenges because it was very, very hot that morning. There wasn't a cloud in the sky and it was 30 plus degrees, so that was quite a contrast from the evening before in Antarctica. And then we went on to Perth and the other places where we actually did all of our runs at night time because that's just how the schedule ended up working out. So quite different from normal because I don't normally end up starting a run at 12:45 a.m. as we did in Dubai, for example. So we became quite nocturnal, kind of sleeping and eating on the plane in daytime, and then just running at night, and you sort of lost track of time, really, apart from how long it took you to run each marathon. But we all kept each other going, and it was just the most wonderful and unique experience.
Okay, so you had Cape Town, Perth, you went on to Dubai, Madrid, Santiago, and as mentioned, you finished in Miami. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Madrid was your fastest time, 3 hours, 11 minutes, and 49 seconds. A nice one over there in Spain.
Yeah, we arrived there. It was actually pretty cold that day. It was only about freezing, and we were on the racetrack at Madrid. And again, Christina and I, we got racing. I don't think it was in my plan to put my fastest race in for leg 5, but we were being really competitive, and it actually came down to a sprint finish in the end, which I won by only 13 seconds. So that was a really tough race, but luckily we then had a decent flight time to Santiago, where we did the 6th leg, which I'm pleased to say we slowed it down a little bit because I don't think we had it in us to do another such fast time as we'd done in Madrid.
Obviously, being based in South Africa, I have to ask about Cape Town. You spoke about it briefly, but how did you enjoy that part of the 777? The 777.
I loved it. I've been to Cape Town before. I've run the 2 Oceans Marathon a few years ago. So I knew that I was delighted that we'd be based in Cape Town for the couple of days before we left for Antarctica and then be back there running a marathon. And just everything's great. You know, the food, drink, people, everyone's very welcoming. The sun shines. I mean, as a contrast from pretty grey old London, it was a wonderful few days. Couldn't have been nicer.
Glad to hear about your performance in the 2 Oceans. We've got it coming up again in a month or two's time. Any chance of seeing you back here?
Oh, if there was an excuse, I think I'd better stay put for a while. But I'm sure I'll be back maybe for that. And I haven't ticked off Comrades, which is obviously another iconic ultra marathon. So I shall be back in South Africa at some point running, I very much hope.
Well, I was just about to ask that. You led me into my next question. I mean, Comrades Marathon, if you're going to run any race in South Africa or the world, I mean, it's got to be the Comrades. You mentioned the other big one, Two Oceans. But yeah, are we likely to see you in the run between Durban and Pietermaritzburg in the near future?
Well, I always thought Comrades sounded so unbelievably tough. I wasn't sure I could do it. But given what I've done in the last week, I'm sure I'm pretty much running out of excuses. So, yeah, I think it's got to go pretty high up on the to-do list.
Yeah, I was going to say. Now, despite running like one, you by no means a professional. You still have to juggle your running and training with a full-time job.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sat here at the moment in the office, back at work this morning. It's great. All my colleagues were really supportive, loved what I did. And I actually think I work better because I run, and I probably run better because I've got a day job as well. So, you know, I think everyone knows that running is just a great way to unwind after a day's work. I certainly enjoy it. So I think they both complement each other. And then you just have to be quite efficient to fit it all in.
And what do you do as a profession?
So I work in betting and horse racing, so very sporty, which is great, because when you then step up to do something like World Marathon Challenge, you're kind of in an environment where people understand what you're doing. They love sports. And in fact, the office were tracking my progress around the world, and they had a scoreboard up in the office following where I was doing. And they couldn't have been more supportive. I was also raising money for SportsAid, which is a fantastic charity that supports our next generation of athletes here in Great Britain. And I've had, counting to date, I've had over £8,000 worth of donations from lots of people, lots of friends and family and people I know, but lots of people that I don't know as well. So, you know, huge thank you to everyone that's donated there. So I think, as I said, it's just captured the imagination, and people, I hope people see that if someone like me can achieve something like this, then actually anyone can really achieve what they want to do if they work hard enough and they really enjoy it.
Was it your first time taking part in the 777?
Absolutely. God, I thought about it for a long time last year before I finally committed in the summer. And then I did 5 months of really solid training for it. It was a big undertaking, but if anyone's keen to do it, I just couldn't recommend it highly enough.
What was your training schedule like heading up to this massive event, this massive task? And also, I can imagine something like this doesn't come cheap.
No, it doesn't come cheap, but that's what paying off mortgages and things are for, working hard and doing the things you love. And in terms of training, it was just basically doing something every day. So in the week, I did quite a lot of sprint intervals to try and get my heart and lung capacity bigger and stronger, because that's what enables you to go faster for longer. And then at the weekends, I just did all of my long runs. So a typical weekend would be a 3-hour run on a Saturday and then a 4-hour run on a Sunday. So you just get loads of miles in your legs. And you learn what it's like to just be running for a long time and doing it when your legs are starting to get tired. And then I raced plenty of marathons as well, because I think it's a lot more fun to go out and run with other people. Everyone's competitive and everyone runs much better if you put your number bib on and go and race with other people. So it was a pretty full-on 5 months, but I loved it.
And we spoke about the logistics, but I can just imagine you finish a race. How much time do you have to rest before getting into the aeroplane? Is it a private charter? I mean, it has to be. Do you have plenty of space in which you can relax and actually get a good night's sleep before you land? Once you land, I mean, is it hitting the tarmac immediately? Do you get a bit of time to acclimatize? Also taking into account altitude, time-wise, etc. I mean, I just can't wrap my head around it, doing 7 in 7 days in 7 continents.
We were very lucky. We were looked after really well by Titan Airways and their crew. We had sort of probably 3 different crews with us around the world, and they were just brilliant. So, you know, after each race, it was just a case of finding a shower if there was one available, getting loads of warm clothes on and eating food. And we'd get through the airport and back on the plane as quickly as we could. And then, you know, you learn to make the plane like home, really. It wasn't it wasn't flatbeds, but the seats were still pretty comfortable. And we had a duvet, and you just go and try and get sleep. And then the crew put up with some fairly odd requests from us all. So quite a lot of bags of ice for joints that were aching. We'd all lie around on the floor using the foam rollers to try and get our muscles to relax. Some people slept on the floor because they found that more comfortable than the seats. It really became home from home. And we were looked after very well. Lots of food. I mean, trying to eat enough our food when you get to marathon 5, 6, and 7 were quite hard because you're just burning so many calories. You're just eating kind of salty nuts and chocolate and things to keep you going in between the meals that you're given as well. But it's amazing how well your body adapts to it once you get into a rhythm of it and you learn, you know, what food you need to eat and you get some sleep. And you keep each other going. You know, we were all very much a team. It's not the sort of challenge I'd enjoy doing by myself, but when you're with 40 other people, and everyone's doing it for their own reasons and at their own pace, and there's a competitive but really supportive spirit, it's just the most wonderful experience.
Yeah, it certainly sounds it. Very tough, but extremely rewarding at the end. Now, you mentioned Sports Aid, a great charity that you ran this for, raising money for them. I can imagine that it's still ongoing. And if so, how can listeners contribute to the cause?
Oh, very generous if anyone does want to contribute. The details are on my Twitter page, which is @TheIronLadyRuns. Or I've got the Just Giving page is Susanna-Gill-777. And I say I've been overwhelmed by the support so far, and I know that all the funds will get used really well to support our next generation athletes and make sure those people get a fair chance at fulfilling their potential.
At the Iron Lady Runs, and that hints at many more events in the future. I mean, what's next for Susanna Gill?
Oh, that's the most difficult question, actually, that I've been asked, because it's been such an amazing challenge that I've built up to. I've got a couple of marathon entries. I'm going to have a go at running Manchester, and I'm going to run London marathons again in April. And then I'll just, the joy of running is there are so many things out there that I can do. Some more of the big city marathons in the world, you know, Boston, Chicago, Tokyo. I haven't done any of them. There'll be some other crazy challenge that takes my fancy. So, but for the moment, I'll just get fit and healthy again, get out running, and see where it all takes me.
Well, you did say it already, but I can't let you go without confirming it. You've got to say comrades.
Yeah, I mean, that is right up there in the top two or three, I think. So, I've got no excuse not to come and do it now. I'd love to.
Ah, great to hear. Susanna Gill, thanks so much for joining us. Rest up. Enjoy your day back at the office. Great to hear that your colleagues treated you to a hero's welcome, as they should. That record time, once again, 22 hours, 50 minutes and 42 seconds competing. 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents. Have a great day further. And yeah, hopefully we'll see you in South Africa once again, but this time over in KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd love that. Gonna hit the ground running.
What a truly incredible performance. Now, some say he has a gadget for every step he takes out on the road. Others say he never goes a day without humming Wham's I'm Your Man out loud. It's our gadget guru, Steve Hill.
The Tech Session with Steve Hill.
Always on the line, Steve Hill. Steve, what you got for us?
Hey, Derek, thanks. We had a look initially at an app for everybody. Then we've touched on security. And today we're going to have a look at what makes people move. Music. Now, how does that fit into running? Well, on your headphones, of course. And trust me, one of my certified fetishes is headphones. Over-ear, in-ear, around-the-ear, long cables, short cables, wraparounds, clip-ons. My collection is endless and I'm never happy. And that's why I've tried so many, which eventually led me to Jabra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jabra is well known for high quality audio, and they claim several of the world's first in audio, including the first Bluetooth headset and the first sports headphones with integrated heart rate monitors. I've run several times with the Jabra Elite Sport. Yes, it's amazing. And it's definitely worth considering if you want good quality audio, a very good battery life, and, of course, like I said, Bluetooth, a truly wireless experience. It also has a new feature, the hear-through technology, where you can set the amount of ambient sound that comes in, touching on the security feature that we looked at last week with Run Angel, and it's a great addition for running. Like I said, it allows you to listen to music while you hear the sounds of your surroundings, cars, hooters, people shouting at you, wherever you're running. It's a good feature to have. And then, obviously, key in today's world is integration with smartphones and apps. And you don't have to have a Jabra Sport app, but they do feature it for iOS on the iPhones and also all Android devices. And the app does add quite a bit to your overall experience of the Jabra Elite Sport. I mentioned earlier as well that it had an in-ear heart rate monitor, and that works with, or it can be paired with, all the popular running apps like the Runkeeper from our first episode, others like Runtastic, Strava, and a few more that we'll feature in upcoming episodes, hopefully. And like I said, what's nice about it, you can pair it with these apps, or you can use the Jabra Sport app if you don't have any other app. And included in that are workout options, training plans. It's a pretty much an all-inclusive package as well, so you're getting good value for money there. And then if I just reviewed and searched online myself for some reviews of heart rates from the in-ear heart rates versus the wrist-based heart rates that you get on the watches these days, consensus is that the Jabra appears to have a few different peaks and valleys in measurements, and wrist monitors are flatter, and a whole bunch of technical mumbo-jumbo that I don't want to bore everybody with. But they say at the end of the day, they're all pretty much within the same range. So the results from the in-ear heart rate monitor are relatively consistent and accurate, which is another plus. So, like I said earlier, the key reason that you want to run with headphones is to listen to music. And let's face it, it's 2019. Nobody wants to run with cables through their T-shirt sleeves and neck and twist it around everything. We all want to enjoy a cord-free setup. Bluetooth is the new norm, and these are really, really good. They have a good connection. It's easy. It's simple. It generally seems to work all the time. I've got to put a disclaimer in at this point, though. For all official races, if you haven't yet done one or you don't know how it works, headphones are not allowed for safety reasons, and this is generally well-policed and marshaled. I know you, Derek, have had first-hand experience of this. So unless you're planning to only be a social runner or not take part in any official runs, please just bear that in mind when looking for headphones. And I mean, everybody knows Apple AirPods and their wireless and Bluetooth connectivity and how they've taken the world by storm. I saw a nice quote on while researching the Jabra. It says, these are the Apple AirPods for those who sweat. Quick recap, the things about the headphones that are possibly not so good. People say they get a bit sore in your ear if you wear them for a long time. You struggle to find a perfect fit. And because they're so small and fit in the ear, you sometimes worry that they're going to fall out and disappear, and you spend quite a bit of money on it. On the positive side of all of this, there are plenty of different fit options that come standard. There's a very impressive sweat-proof and waterproofing on these headphones. Like I said, they're for people who sweat. They have a good battery life, 4 hours plus. So it also doesn't lend itself to those who are social runners and not going to do very short marathons or ultra marathons. I mentioned the hear through mode. They are simple to control. They have a very good Bluetooth connection. And most importantly, for headphones and music, they have excellent sound quality.
Full disclosure from my side, I'm a representative for Jabra. So I'm an ambassador for them. So I've been sponsored by them for the last 4 or 5 years. I had no idea that you were going to do this show and speak about them, but I'm really glad that you did.
Fantastic.
And I mean, I can only speak from experience. I've loved them every step of the way. And I've actually got the new Jabra Elite in the palm of my hand now. It comes in a casing and you charge it along the way. So you charge the case, and you mentioned about 4 to 5 hours per charge on the actual earphones. But when they go back in their casing, I think there's about 3 or 4 rotations before you actually need to physically charge the case again. So
yeah, I think they say two full charges within the case on top of that. So that's probably if you worked it out, about another 9 to 10 hours on each ear as well.
Okay, yeah, no, and they've been a dream come true. I mean, I really, really enjoy them. I don't use them too much out on the road. I use them a lot on the treadmill. Although, I mean, you mentioned the sound-wise in terms of the loudness. I mean, I find them particularly loud. I find them perfect. It's that healthy balance between hearing the words of the song but also hearing your surroundings. And I was in a small town in Peru about a month or two ago called Arequipa, very, very high up, quite close to Bolivia. And I was chugging along because the air is so thin, and I was the only idiot running along the way. And I actually heard a car accident, not maybe 50 or 100 meters behind me. So I was able to catch that. But apart from that, as mentioned, it's the healthy balance between being able to hear the song, but also being able to be aware of what's happening around you.
Exactly. Safety and security. I mean, we've touched on it last week as well. That's key for everything. And also abiding by the running rules and regulations in South Africa. So there you have it. Derek Albert's personal endorsement, the Jabra Elite Sport. Very, very highly recommended.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great run this weekend.
Thanks, Derek. And just one more thing quickly. If you have a product or you have something technologically related that you would like us to feature, we do have our very own email now. It is runhuntertech. That's one word, runhuntertech@icloud.com. Send us some information. We'd love to feature your product. Thanks. Cheers. Goodbye.
Fantastic. I forgot the rest already.
iCloud.com.
Thank you. Chat to you later.
Bye. Gonna hit the ground running.
Now, while Steve's about to turn 40, Darren Brahms already turned that corner, but he's running like a 20-year-old, having lost 30 kilograms as he heads towards his 15th Comrades Marathon. Let's touch base with Q-Ball.
Q-Ball's Comrades Corner.
How's it, Derek? Yes, had a good weekend again. I did the club run on Sunday, only 15 kilometers, but again, went out with the intention to push as hard as I could. And for the first time in like forever, I managed to break 1:30 over the 15 kilometer route. I started feeling it at the end though, at the last 3 kilometers, my legs were like really jelly, but I carried on running. And I think from a mental point of view, that's brilliant that I managed to just keep it going. Right up until the end. So, fantastic run on the weekend. Unfortunate thing from that is I've picked up a slight niggle on my right hip, and I'm hoping it's not too serious. I have been running with a RTB injury on my left leg, so I'm presuming that the problem is compensating a little bit, and so my right hip for Monday and today has really hurt. So I'm just resting it at the moment. I'm not going to push anything, not going to run at all. Do a little bit of gym work just to keep myself going. And let's hope that the injury itself isn't too serious and put me back, because I can't afford to really go back. I've started late this year. And although I'm running pretty well, I can't afford to miss too many runs. So let's just hold thumbs that this isn't going to be a disaster. Coming up this weekend, I'm going to be doing the Pirates 21 kilometer. That's a real tough one. I think we've done it together before. Extremely hilly. So I'm looking forward to getting over those hills. My aim for the weekend is not to walk any of those hills, but to run at a slow, steady pace. I'm going to actually slow my run down this weekend. I think pushing these runs constantly isn't doing my body any favors. I know I want to get faster, but the plan this weekend will be definitely just to do it slowly. I'm not too slow, but it's just something that I can maintain and able to run the whole 21 kilometers. If I can do that, I'll be extremely happy. So let's just hope that this injury isn't too bad and that Sunday comes and I run and have a good run. But yeah, we'll see you next week and I'll let you know. Shot. Gonna hit the ground running.
Thanks, Darren. Now finally, let's find out more about our Club of the Week.
Club Commitments.
Now, it's one of the oldest running clubs in South Africa, never mind in Johannesburg, established in 1975, making them 44 years old. I'm talking about Rockies, based in Parkview in the City of Gold. Joining me is the chairman of the club, Matodzi Chidzuma. Matodzi, thanks for joining us. When you talk about historical running clubs, they don't get much more historic than yours. Tell us a bit more.
Correct. It has been a long time since 1975. We have gone through the ups and downs of running clubs. We are one of the few largest community-based running clubs. And the roots of the club is the community members, and that's what keeps going, or keeps the running club going.
Quite a unique...
From generation to generation, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, quite a unique name that you guys have, you guys and ladies. Tell us a bit more about the origins of the name, the Rockies.
It's quite an interesting story. The six guys who started the Rockies Running Club in 1975, they were tough oaks, and there were lots of, they had to run through lots of rocks, and they were used to call themselves as hard as a rock. And that's where the name of Rockies came from.
I love that. Would you describe yourself as being hard as rock?
I'm hard as rock. I'm not very fast, but I have endurance to last the whole comrade.
Love it. Matozi, how long have you been a member of Rockies?
10 years exactly.
Oh, that's fantastic. And how many members does the club have?
Around 360. And that's the stadium number. Sometimes we go to 420. But 360, 370 is an average membership number. With the ups and downs of the economy, it also affects if members join or not. So when the economy is doing good, our membership also does good.
Fair enough. And what does it take to join Rockies? How much does it cost? How does one go about becoming a member?
It's very easy if the public wants to check our website. We have all the Rockies joining form there, as well as the ASA license form. And we are very proud that our membership is one of the lowest in Gauteng. To join Rockies in this suburb, it costs a person 550 rand. If it's a couple, then it's 1,000 rand. And we charge 250 per scholar or student. And we are very active on Facebook as well as Twitter. And if you want to check us there, the name is Rockies, Rocky Road Runners, as well as our Twitter handle. And then you can get information from there.
Now, as always is the case, most clubs have to organize their own runs, at least one annually, and you certainly have, but not just the one run. You're also involved with a very popular run as well in the area over at Joburg Zoo.
Correct, correct. On an annual basis, our biggest race we organize is Gerald Fox Memorial Services, and it's been going on for more than 15 years now. And the participants have grown from 4,000 to 9,000 as of 2018. And that's very, very good for us. It's run in a very safe environment. We run on a quiet street and we finish at the zoo. And on a yearly basis, we make a contribution to zoo, to the Johannesburg Zoo from the proceeds of the race. And with the leftovers of the race, we run our unemployed elite runners program, where we support unemployed elite runners. And it's also our way of giving back to the sport.
Yeah, you guys do a fantastic job with your club. And as mentioned regarding the Johannesburg Zoo, you're also involved with the Zoo Trot, which has become immensely popular in Johannesburg.
Yes, every month we, together with Johannesburg Zoo, we host a zoo trot, and it's a 5-kilometer run. You can run or you can walk, and that's where we encourage family members to participate. The young and the old, they can come and walk. It's the best way of getting the young people tired for the day, more special on the weekend. And we hold it every second week of the month. And it has been going from strength to strength.
And I tell you what, they get extremely tired. And it's not just the youngsters, because it may be 5Ks, sure, but it's not an easy 5Ks. It's one of the tougher fivers that you're likely to find around.
True. And what we do, because half of our membership, they like running comrades. So we go there and run laps of 5Ks. Sometimes we run 6, sometimes we run 8. And we also, after that, then people sit around and they have picnic in the zoo. And they also take the chance to show the kids the zoo animals. And it becomes a nice family event at the zoo.
It really is. You get to enjoy the scenery while taking in a lot of fitness over a tough five kilometer route. And Matodzi, you also hold time trials. And unlike other time trials, which I've experienced, which is during the week, you have yours on weekend, which I thoroughly enjoy.
That's very true. Our time trials is held every Saturday at 7:30 in the morning, in front of Moyo's restaurant. It's a 5-kilometer loop, and we encourage every member of the society and community to come and run the time trial. It's free of charge, and it's the best way to also to explore the Zoo Lake when you're running, because it's far away from the busy roads, and it's around the Zoo Lake. Our members are very loyal to it, and the community members will also come and run. And it's a perfect way to start the morning or to start the weekend.
So you can take on a time trial on Saturday around the zoo, and then every second Sunday you can join up for the zoo trot. That's as part of the Rockies experience. And finally, Matodzi, your kit colors, and where exactly are your headquarters?
We are based in Johannesburg Zoo Lake Sports Club. We're also in the process of moving to be based near Zoo Lake Moyos. And the reason why we want to move closer to Moyos is because we are working on a separate project where we want to introduce family run. It will be like a 4-kilometer run within the Zoo Lake, clearly marked, and the members of the communities, they can come and run it anytime, but we'll administer it. And our club colors is red and white and blue.
Red, white, and blue. You can't miss them out on the road. Members of Rockies, as mentioned, 1975 established and still going strong. You can check them out on their website. It's a great website. In fact, extremely informative. Rockies.co.za. Also, as Matodzi mentioned, very prevalent on social media. So if you want to join, just log on or give them a ring, and the rest will be taken care of. Matodzi, thanks so much for joining us, and happy running.
Yay, thank you very much. And let's go for a run whenever you have a chance. It would be nice to run together with new faces.
I'd love to. I'll be there soon, and I'll bring my 3-year-old daughter with her for that zoo trot.
Yes, she'll do a one-lap run.
No, guaranteed. Although she'll probably outlap me, but I'll blame it on her. Thanks, Matodzi.
Well, no problem. Well done. Thanks.
Cheers. That wraps up the show. Thanks for listening as always. Keep the messages flying at Derek Alberts 1 on Twitter or info@raider.media. That's RAYDER.media. Or that email address that Steve mentioned, I'll get it right this time, runhuntertech@icloud.com. Have a great week up on the road. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Run Hunter, brought to you by Raider Media.